Good evening and welcome to Song Talk Radio for this Tuesday, December 2nd. We are streaming at you live on the Scope at Ryerson in Toronto, Canada, where it's this strange weather. It's called like freezing rain or snowy sleet. Or we actually call it sleet.
Raining.
It's
freezing rain.
Yeah, freezing rain, frain. It's kind of messy. Anyway, well, let's talk about Song Talk. It's the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of songwriting. That's why it's called Song Talk. And we've had fresh newbies on here, established professional songwriters, and together we've all shared tips, techniques, and other cool things, and together we all become a little bit better at writing songs, we hope. I'm your host, Bruce Herrett, and joining me tonight, of course, the intrepid members of the Song Talk Radio Action Team, Neil Modi.
Greetings, everybody.
He's on the board tonight. It's a very beautiful board. Small, but beautiful. And the inimitable and the effervescent Phil Emery.
Hi, Mom. Send more socks.
Thank you. Don't forget, we always love hearing from you. At least we say we do. So send thoughts, complaints, and corrections to feedback@songtalk.ca. Follow us on Twitter @SongTalkRadio or #SongTalk. And on Facebook @SongTalkRadio. And please stop by our website @SongTalk.ca and find out how you can be guest on our show. Well, tonight's our holiday show. Isn't
Happy
that great?
Holidays.
It's
Happy
December
holidays.
And the holidays are coming. And but, you know, here at Song Talk, we're not going to call it the Christmas show, we decided, because there are several billion people around the world who are not Christians. In fact, I think, Neil, they'd be the majority, wouldn't they? Non-Christians in the world?
Probably.
Yeah. We haven't got the statistics here at Song Talk, but we're guessing that this minority group called Christians have their Christmas, and their Christmas has, at least in North America and parts of Europe, become kind of everywhere.
It's ubiquitous.
Ubiquitous. So that's okay. What I'm talking about is this is our holiday show, and we want to include everybody. Although tonight we have chosen, each of the co-hosts have chosen a couple of songs that they like and have brought in, and we're going to talk about those songs because, of course, this show we talk about the songwriting. So what I would say is that many traditions of holiday traditions, whether no matter what religion, have great music. And it's just that for some reason, this holiday of Christmas has really captured the hearts and minds of many composers. Almost every artist of repute has done a Christmas album.
And of ill repute.
You guys have any favorite Christmas albums? Like when somebody came out with a Christmas album?
I do. I have an album that I've been looking for years.
Yeah.
I had it on a cassette.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. And it featured Robert Goulet doing Let It Snow, and Jim Nabors, and Carol Burnett. And it was just great because it was so kind of schmaltzy and honest. I've never been able to find it.
No, I've been looking. Well, if anybody out there knows that schmaltzy,
yes.
What year would that have come out? The 70s?
The
60s.
60-something, actually.
That's when Carol was around, and Bob Goulet and Jim Nabors. Well, so I thought, you guys, I have a question for you just to get us in the mood here.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get to the songs, start with Phil then. What does this time of the year mean for you?
Not sure what it actually means, of course.
Well, what happens then? What do you do?
Well, I mean, I think about like every other songwriter wanting to write the ultimate Christmas song because once you get a song into the Christmas playlist, you're kind of set for life. It's like guaranteed plays.
Oh, really?
And royalties possibly for the
forever.
For the rest of your life.
I better get busy.
Yes.
Did you write a Christmas song?
I have.
Oh, you're not going to, you didn't bring it?
No. It is called Have Yourself a Parkdale Hookers Christmas.
Right.
And you can avoid, and you can actually, it's by the band the Parkdale Hookers, and you can find that on YouTube.
Okay, cool. And Neil, what does it mean for you this time of year? What do you get involved in?
Well, it's certainly good for sort of, you know, family get-togethers, and it's really cool to, you know, head downtown and see all the lights. And kind of the last winter, actually, last December, my wife and I spent a weekend in New York City, and the spirit there is just it completely dwarfs anything you see over here. Like there are Salvation Army guys dancing and singing in the streets. There's there's crowds of people. The ice, you know, the
skating rink,
the
Rockefeller
Center. the big tree and everything. It's really quite astounding.
Now, is Diwali always close, sort of around Christmas?
It's in the fall, usually October, November.
Okay,
yeah.
Diwali is the Hindu.
Is the Hindu New Year essentially?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
What's the New Year? Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, other people. There's also Kwanzaa around Christmas time. Of course, there's
Chanukah.
The Chanukah. I like your accent. That's very good. I think it's Hanukkah. And sometimes there's a Hanukkah. I grew up with Jewish friends, and they would have like a Hanukkah bush instead of a Christmas tree. And but for me, I opted out of the buying gifts years ago. My family, fairly large family, but we all agreed that we would rather not do the gift thing because it got the nieces and nephews were in their 20s, and it was like, what do you get for them? And we all realized we'd rather save that money and maybe go on a holiday together or something, you know? So with that, I don't really get it caught up in the gift thing too much. And then I do go to see my family right on Christmas Day. And that's really, it is really nice to gather around the turkey and the food. And I got a recipe I just sent my sister for scallop potatoes I had the other night. I've got to tell you, listeners out there, when you make scallop potatoes, don't use milk and cheddar cheese or even a white cheddar. Here's what you use. 35% whipping cream. Mm. 1 1/4 cups and Gruyere. Oh my God. This was a cater dinner. Gruyere cheese and this cream. And they were the most delicious scalloped potatoes I've ever had.
Oh wow.
Boy, but I sent that to my sister and said, let's make this. So we may do that. I'll bring the cheese maybe or something and she can provide the potatoes.
As long as I have eggnog, I'm happy. I'm a big eggnog guy.
Oh, okay. So those are some of the things that we're into here over at the Song Talk team around this Christmas holiday time. And so let's get started. Phil, you picked a couple of tunes here.
Yes.
And tell us a bit about this one by Frank Loesser. It's Loesser, right?
Yes, I've always 1944. Heard it. L-O-E-S.
Loesser?
I thought it was Loesser. Of course, he's a Broadway composer, wrote Guys and Dolls.
Oh, right.
And just an incredible songwriter. And the thing I love about his songs is that every note is very, very considered. It's not sort of something that he's thrown together, but every note is placed at a very specific place for a very specific reason.
Hmm.
And if you know Guys and Dolls at all, there's that famous song where these three guys are talking about the tips they get at the track. And, of course, you know, I have a horse right here. His name is Paul Revere.
And he made it, what's it called, over top of each other? A few.
It's actually a few of these. And it's just marvelous seeing how these lines intertwine. And, again, every note is very, very carefully placed.
So he had classical training, probably.
Oh, yes. Yeah, definitely. Training up the wazoo.
That's a lot of training.
It is.
The University of Wazoo.
This song he wrote with his wife, Lynn Garland. And
what year was that?
1944.
Right, in the middle of the war.
And they basically wrote it so they had something to sing together.
At parties.
At parties. So it had parts to the male and the female. And it's interesting, this song has a lot of different impressions because at the time there was, you know, one kind of attitude. Now when we hear it a little bit differently. But one of the things I love about this is it's a fairly straightforward song in some ways. There's no bridge. It's all just verses, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
On the score, there's two voices. One's called Mouse, the other one's called Wolf. And the female in this one would be the mouse, and the male would be the wolf.
Hmm.
And it's the idea of they're going on a date, and the woman, you know, thinks, oh, it's time to go, and the male is trying to convince her to stay. And again, this was written by Frank and his wife. And he actually sold the song to MGM, I think, in 1948. And apparently she was furious because she always thought of this as her song.
Oh, no.
But one thing I love, and I love this song, but it also drives me nuts because people cover this song.
Mm-hmm.
And they missed the point because if you listen really closely to the call and response lines, they're very carefully placed in the way they marry the melodies back and forth.
Yep.
And people, in trying to put their own spin on the song, they ruin that symmetry.
Oh.
And they miss the whole point of the song.
It drives me nuts. How did Mike Buble do? Because I know he covered this.
I'm not sure. I usually try to avoid it.
The version we have now is better.
Who's this? Dean Martin.
Oh, okay.
it's 1949, I think.
It's Dean Martin and a lady.
And a vocal choir, and I love how light the vocal choirs are. But again, listen to the way the two lines intertwine and mirror each other.
Right. Listen to the lyrics, in other words. It's really interesting. Okay, here it is. Frank Lesser's song, Baby, It's Cold Outside.
But baby, it's cold outside.
Got to go.
But
away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has
been hoping that you drop
so
in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands, they're just like
My
ice.
Mother will start to.
Beautiful, worry. What's your heart?
Father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace
so
roar.
Really, I'd better
beautiful,
hurry.
Please don't
but
hurry.
Maybe just to have
put some records on while I pour. Baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in the
no
street?
Cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew.
Your eyes are like starlight now. I'll take your hat, your hair looks
I
swell.
Ought to say, no.
Mind if I move in closer?
At least I'm gonna say that I
tried. What's the sense of hurting my pride?
Really can't
stay. Baby, don't hold out. Baby, it's cold outside.
I simply must go.
But baby, it's cold outside.
The answer is no.
But baby, it's cold outside.
The welcome has
how
been
lucky that you dropped
so
in.
Nice and warm.
Look out the window at the storm.
My sister will be suspicious.
Gosh, your lips look delicious.
My brother will be there at the door.
Waves upon the tropical shore.
My maiden aunt's mind is
gosh,
vicious.
Your lips are delicious.
But maybe just a cigarette.
Never more. Such a blizzard before.
Gotta get home.
But baby, you'd freeze out there.
Say, lend me a coat.
It's up to your knees out there.
You've really been
I thrill
bred,
when you touch my hand.
Don't you see?
How can you do this thing to me?
There's bound to be talk to.
Think of my lifelong
at
sorrow.
At least there will be plenty in mind.
If you've got pneumonia and
I really can't
get
stay.
Over that old doubt.
Baby, it's cold.
Baby, it's cold outside.
And we have Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Where's Dean Martin?
Dino.
Yes.
Dino.
Great.
Yeah, well. Beautiful structure. I mean, each line is right on top,
just over the other one, just perfectly.
He's got an internal rhyme in every line.
Oh yeah, yeah.
just about.
He's such a master, you know. Mm. And it's I've never heard a recording of him and his wife doing it. I'd love to hear that because that's the. Would be the purest form of the song.
Sure.
I think that what that kind of interplay gives you, like in my mind, I can almost picture the man and the woman just sort of, you know, leaning into each other or just barely kind of touching or barely, I mean, it's almost like the lines are almost kissing each other, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like it's kind of cool. There's a flirtation that takes place just from the rhythm and from the
Yeah,
and
it has
delivery.
A conversational feel, too.
Yeah.
Right? Because
of
that, because they're overlapping like they do in some movies, like Robert Altman film. They'll talk over each other, like in real life, right?
Like,
I like it.
Yeah,
no,
it's
cool.
It's wonderful. It's and very very kind of innocent lyrics, written at the time.
It was a time when good girls did not stay overnight with their boyfriends,
yes,
right?
Even though they wanted to.
Here's the interesting thing. After Phil decided he wanted to present this song, I had never heard it before.
Right.
So I looked it up, and I looked up on YouTube, and all the comments below the YouTube posting are like, wow, this is like what's in this drink? And there's all these suggestions that he's forcing her to stay, and that he's, you know, putting something suspicious in her drink, and there's kind of an insidious
interpretation. I don't think
interpretation
that was back in the 40s.
I don't think was the case when it was written. It's certainly not the intention, but it's interesting nowadays how some people might interpret these lyrics.
Right. Even during the holidays.
It's
very much part of the conversation right now, and it's not just in Canada, it's everywhere, about this kind of, like, what are the agreements between couples around, you know, being together and all that. It's being, let's just say, talked about and renegotiated, and it's a good thing.
It's a good thing. But certainly the tone of this recording or this song in general is, like I said, very flirtatious and kind of innocent, right?
In Broadway, they call this a charm song.
It's not the
big hit song. It's not the big, it's not the cute little pretty ingenue number. It's a charm song, and it's just totally charming. That's what I found about it. So you brought another song along here.
I did. Now, this song is actually really interesting because one of the things is, we've often talked about the song titles, and I'm always saying, well, you have to make sure people know what the name of the song is so that they can find it and request it on the radio or, you know, whatever people are listening to right now. So I heard this song on, I think, CBC, and I just thought it was a brilliant song. And I was pretty sure it was, well, a new song, but I didn't know who it was by.
Uh-huh.
So I went to iTunes, and I went... The main refrain of the song is "Merry Christmas, Baby," and so of course I typed that in.
There.
There is about five kajillion songs called "Merry Christmas Baby," which is a really interesting problem for a songwriter.
Yeah.
Again, I don't think the main chorus would work as well if she used something else. So instead, it's she's titled it "Calling to Say." And it's by Toronto's own Serena Ryder. And this is just such a brilliant song. And I think, you know, this is a song that deserves to become part of the Christmas standard. And she deserves to make money for the rest of her life on this song because it is just so well constructed. This is one of the great things. I've always heard that it's good to write a song as if you're listening to one half of a conversation.
Okay.
You know, when you just have the one vocalist.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And if you listen to it, the lyrics really closely, there's a point where she says, are you seeing anyone? Yeah, I've been busy too. And it's just...
It's a telephone conversation. Yeah. You're listening to just her side.
Just the one side, yeah.
Wow.
And it's really simple. There is a bridge, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
And she only comes in for a half a verse at the end, which is great because I think the... certainly my normal approach would go to a full verse at the end, but she shortens it so that it's not too long.
And the bridge is right at the end there, the E minor and F there? Yeah, I'm having fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's only two lines. It's
a little bridge
long
at the end. We've got the tablature here, so when we come back after hearing it, we can tell you what key it's in and everything, if you want to play along sometime.
Yeah.
What key is that? Is that F? It's in G or F?
Well, this one starts off with a G minor scoring at home tonight.
Yeah. The chorus is in C major.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, well, let's hear it then.
All right.
So here we have Calling to Say by Toronto's own Serena Ryder, Calling to Say.
I wasn't sure if I should call, you know, with family and all. It seems strange to let it pass. I just thought I'd call and ask, are you having fun? Are you seeing anyone? Yeah, I've been busy too. I hope I'm not keeping you. I'm just calling to say,
a little lie. There's been no other.
Calling to say, there we go, with the hand clapping and everything. That was Serena Ryder. And that was Phil's pick tonight for our holiday show. That's a very cool song. I was saying to Phil, it really reminds me of like 60s Detroit sound, girl group sound.
Temptations,
Dionne Warwick, and that repetition. You're right. You'd think that the title was Merry Christmas, but, you know. Yeah.
Well, she could have called it... A calling to say, bracket, Merry Christmas, Baby.
Yeah.
And that way, if you search Merry Christmas, Baby, it still would have come up among the
jillion
other songs.
That's a good point, actually, yeah. So then
let's give her a call. We'll give her a call after the show.
And I just, you know, and I love that half verse at the end with that little twist.
Yeah.
About, yeah, I'm having fun. I've been seeing someone. Okay, that's a little lie.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
There's no other guy. What a great, great title.
And I'm so glad she came back to that part, just that section of the verse, because that's the part of the verse... The first couple of times she does it that I like the most in the verses when she makes that twist within the verse. It's a great melodic line.
And they did a nice arrangement. They dropped everybody out on that and then built up to the end again. But I really like the awkwardness. Like, I don't know how many of you out there listening have called the ex, around Christmas time because you're just kind of like, I just want to hear their voice, even though it might be kind of, upsetting or whatever. And it's playing that tension really nicely. You know, I'm just calling. No, I'm, I'm glad the number was good. It went through. I wasn't sure where we stood and we're still friends. And I'm fine, really. Yeah. But it's kind of like half truths, right? So you're putting on a show, you're putting on a bit of a front, right?
And it's just, she's got so much out of such few words.
Yeah.
A whole story out of just,
yeah.
You know, how long is that song, Neil?
It is 3 minutes and 4 seconds.
3 minutes and 4 seconds.
Yeah.
How much she's crammed into this song.
Yeah.
And think about how, not bland, but sort of pedestrian and obvious a lot of Christmas songs are. There's no real sort of depth, and this is just, what a great tune. I hope it gets into it.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we'll just take a bit of a break for a station ID now and find out if you've just joined us. Neil with a little promo.
Yes. For those of you just joining us, this is Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil. And tonight is our special holiday edition of Song Talk. And this is the show where songwriters talk to other songwriters about the craft of songwriting. But I guess tonight the songwriters aren't in the station, so
no, they wouldn't come. Well, these people won't come into our show.
We tried to get Dean Martin here, but
I might have a surprise guest later on.
Never know.
Dean Martin, I don't want to see him.
But we'd like to know what your favorite holiday songs are. So please send us your impressions via Twitter at SongTalkRadio. Use the hashtag SongTalk. Email us at feedback@songtalk.ca. And visit us on Facebook and YouTube at Song Talk Radio. Stop by the site at songtalk.ca. Find out how you can actually be a guest on this show, where we normally feature one songwriter and we talk about their songs. Mm-hmm. And coming up on Song Talk Radio next couple of weeks, on the 9th of December, we have Liz Jarman.
Mm, she's great.
Yeah, she's brilliant. Amazing. She's a co-conspirator of Eric Sorensen, who we've had on the show a few times as a co-host and guest. And on December 16th, we have Michael Proudfoot. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be the last show of the year. Mm-hmm. And which we're going to take a couple weeks break for Christmas and come back in January with some great new stuff.
We'll put on a repeat show, will we?
We'll have to.
The best of some, Doug.
So, yeah, you'll have something to listen to if you want to tune in on a Tuesday evening. But
absolutely.
We know a lot of you go to SoundCloud and listen to us as a podcast, and that's great.
Yes.
Coming up. should we save that to the end, the December 28th gig that we're doing?
You can talk about it now if you got the details.
Actually, I was going to put it at the end, so I'll wait to that.
All right, what's
again? Oh, yeah, that we're giving you some suspense. There's an exciting event coming.
Okay, so what makes a good Christmas song from a songwriting standpoint?
I just think it has to touch you emotionally, right? Like, I think there's so many emotions around Christmas season, holiday season for people. And it's a time really of, a lot of people, it's not a happy time necessarily. It's a very emotional time.
They say depression peaks up.
Well, one of the churches in town actually has a thing called Blue Christmas, and it's a special service for anyone who's lost anybody in the last year and is feeling sad at their first Christmas without their person. And they do a special, the choir and all that sort of thing. They acknowledge that it's not all fun and games for everybody at Christmas. But I just think it, you know, like any good song, it should have a good melody and. Well, it's hard to say, right? Because tonight we're presenting a wide range from charm songs to love songs to, you're going to hear from Neil now, some very odd songs.
Pretty dark stuff.
Well, let's move on to that. So you're going to start with a song by a local band.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Tell us about that one.
So this is a song by the Bare Naked Ladies called Snowman. And this is probably the only kind of holiday album I actually own. It's they released a holiday record a few years ago called Bare Naked for the Holidays. And they did some standards, Jingle Bells and White Christmas and all that sort of stuff. And then they did a few original songs. And this song is actually interesting because it takes on the point of view of what it might be like to be inside the head of a snowman and feel what the snowman is feeling.
Well, we better mention it's Ed Robertson that wrote it.
Yeah, this is one of Ed's songs. Mm-hmm. Stephen Page does sing back up on it, so this is when he was still with the Bare Naked Ladies.
Okay.
And
well, let's have a listen. This is a song by Ed Robertson of the Bare Naked Ladies, and it's called Snowman.
Snow, I don't know how I fit in. To and fro, people go, I stand and grin. Way to go, even though I can't begin. Made of snow, I don't know how I fit in. Ever cold, love untold, I don't belong. Having holes, so we're told, I think they're wrong. Heart of gold, growing old, just like the song. Ever cold, love untold, I don't belong. Lullabies, I melt away. Criticized, compromised, white turns to gray. I'm paralyzed, otherwise I'd leave today. Button eyes, lullabies, I melt away. Ever cold, love untold, I don't fit in. Button eyes, lullabies, I don't fit in. Made of snow, I don't know how I fit in.
Here we go. go. Bare Naked Ladies, Snowman, written by Ed Robertson. And a very sweet song. You know, for me to choose the snowman as a metaphor for being an outsider. And then he's really talking, I don't know if he's talking about himself, but somebody who feels they don't belong. And I think it's a lovely choice for a Christmas song.
Yeah.
What did it mean for you, Neil? You chose it.
I just had the same sort of feeling. Like, it's just it's a sweet melody. I just like the imagery that's inside of it. It's just it's a little bit different.
It's waltz, isn't it? It's 3/4.
It's in 3/4 time.
Yeah.
But I kind of like the button eyes, lullabies, I melt away. White turns to gray.
Yeah,
it's kind of like every time the winter ends or it starts melting, it all turns to slush, and it's kind of it's very evocative that way, like just the imagery.
And I like he's gone crazy on the rhymes, right? He has an internal rhyme, and then he has a line ending rhyme.
Well, especially in the second verse, there's like all the line. It's a really the rhyme schemes is really tight in the second verse.
Mm-hmm.
You have untold, you actually have. Untold
cold
twice.
Untold.
Old song, Untold, yeah.
And so. The Heart of Gold, Growing Old.
Well, it's interesting because I've actually started reading that Jimmy Webb book, Tinsmith.
Yes. Right.
And I think anyone who was serious about being a songwriter should read that book.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not serious about reading that, about being a songwriter, you shouldn't read that book because it's like reading a philosophy textbook. It is so dense.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's great, but I mean, there's like... It is a big, thick book, and it's all filled with stuff. There's, like, no filler, but he goes so deep into this stuff.
Wow.
And he was talking about doing these kind of, choosing words that actually have lots of rhymes, but interesting rhymes, too.
Right.
So it's interesting all these different internal rhymes that he has here.
Well, I think Ed was having some fun with this.
Yeah,
it looks like the writer was having just playing around.
And he didn't. And it's four verses, but he never changes the chord structure. It's kind of the same repeat, the same repeat, the same repeat.
And he repeats lyrics.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't think he was trying to do anything like epic here. It was more how can I write a simple song about outsiders?
Yeah, and it goes with the song because it's a very simple idea. It's just what would a snowman feel like? That's all.
Yeah,
it's almost like a haiku.
Well, and they managed to get a lot of. Distance out of the same chord structure by doing lots of interesting harmonies and kind of movement that way. And you can do a lot with a song actually by doing that, by just playing around with the harmonies.
The arrangement.
And
that was Stephen Page in the background there. Their voices are great together. And Stephen Page has got such really a unique voice. I think that's what... really move that band ahead. When you listen to his voice, it was like, I've never heard this kind of voice before.
Yeah.
It's like when Neil Young came out, like, what? And then you can't get enough of it, right?
It's interesting. There is this one line that sort of stuck out for me, and to me it feels like it's slightly out of place.
Mm-hmm.
It's the I'd leave today.
I'm paralyzed, otherwise I'd leave today.
I like that idea, but it seems to be kind of...
antithetical?
It seems to be out of place with the rest of the song. I mean, if it was sort of, if the last verse was changing or, I'm melting away or to me, it's even when they were playing it, it did stick out to me for some reason.
So, I mean, it's stretching the metaphor, right, to say that, snowman feels paralyzed because they don't have an ability to move, and that
they
might want to melt away or go away.
Yeah,
but I suppose that a human being can feel that way too, really stuck, and I think that's what he was playing.
Yeah,
absolutely. So Ed, if you're listening, there's a few tips for your rewrite, for your rewrite, and that's no charge for that. You've got something completely different now.
This is a wide turn into the depths of I don't know what.
someone's very creative mind.
I mean, I think so. This is The Night Santa Went Crazy by Weird Al Yankovic. This is one of Weird Al Yankovic's original songs.
Yeah.
For those people that don't know, he doesn't do just parodies. He also does original songs.
I did not know that.
Yeah, but half of the songs on his albums are originals.
Yeah.
Often he'll do like style parodies. Like he'll do a song in the style of another artist.
Oh, okay.
But it's still an original song. But this one to me, I mean. Beside the fact that it's got a really dark humor and it's hilarious, it's got all of the things that we keep talking about the show that a song should have in terms of narrative, in terms of structure. The bridge, bridge is the most perfect bridge I've ever heard. And it's just, like, just from a songwriting point of view, it's just rock solid from top to bottom.
Wow.
And it rocks. And I want to bring your attention, listeners, to the second line that the elves are making toys for good Gentile girls and the good Gentile boys. So that's fun because, you know, Gentiles and non-Jew, right? So it's very, it's off center.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of lyrics.
And there's a lot of lyrics. So listen closely, folks. Here we go. This is a Weird Al Yankovic song called The Night Santa Went Crazy.
Gentile girls and the good Gentile boys. When the boss busted in, nearly scared him half to death. Had a rifle in his hands and cheap whiskey on his breath. From his beard to his boots, he was covered with ammo. Like a big fat drunk, disgruntled Yuletide Rambo. And he smiled as he said, with a twinkle in his eye, Merry Christmas to all, now you're all gonna die. The Well, the workshop is gone now, he decided to bomb it. Everywhere you'll find pieces of Cupid and Comet. And he tied up his helpers, and he held the elves hostage. And he ground up poor Rudolph into reindeer sausage. He got Dancer and Prancer with an old German Luger. And he slashed up Dasher just like Freddy Krueger. And he picked up a flamethrower and a barbecue Blitzen. The big fight and said it tastes just like chicken. The night Santa went crazy. The night Kris Kringle went nuts. Now you can't hardly walk around the North Pole without stepping in reindeer guts. There's the National Guard and the FBI. There's a van from the Eyewitness News and helicopters circling round in the sky. And the bullets are flying, the body counts rising, and everyone's dying to know who said it why. My, you used to be such a jolly guy. Yes, Virginia, now Santa's doing time in a federal prison for his infamous crime. Hey, little friend, now, don't you cry no more tears. He'll be out with good behavior in 700 more years. But now Vixen's in therapy, and Donner's still nervous. And the elves all got jobs working for the Postal Service. And they say Mrs. Claus, she's on the phone every night with a lawyer negotiating the movie rides. They talk about the night Santa went crazy. The night St. Nicholas slipped, broke his back for some milk and cookies. Sounds to me like he was tired of getting chipped. The night Santa went crazy. The night St. Nick went insane. Realized he'd been getting
yes, there's only one Weird Al Yankovic, and that was him with The Night Santa Went Crazy. Oh, man. Reindeer sausage, and oh, my God.
What's interesting, though, is that it really sounds like a Christmas song.
Yeah.
In terms of that opening sort of riff.
Yeah, little bells.
Gather around, boys and girls.
And the way the sort of descending kind of riff there does sound so much like a Christmas song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what he does best, is lead you in a certain way and then take a left turn.
Yeah, I mean, it's the fun of the contrast between the lyric and the style, which is what he's brilliant at, right, doing parody songs. But, Weird Al obviously writes original tunes, funny ones, and here's one of them. What drew you to this, Neil?
Well, just because it's just so off the cuff. Like, it's I mean, actually, when he does it in live concerts, I have a live concert DVD of Weird Al's as well, he changes the third verse after the bridge. It says, "Yes, Virginia, now Santa Claus is dead. He's been shot by some guy from the SWAT team, blew a hole through his head." It gets really, really dark.
Right? Oh, this is the clean version.
This is the clean version.
Oh, okay.
Right? So that's what's great about comedy sometimes, is when you just take, an idea like that and just take it to the extreme that you can take it and see where you end up.
Yeah.
But like I was saying before, like, just in terms of a song structure, like the bridge is exactly what we always say a bridge should do. It kind of goes to a slightly different place. They got the National Guard, the FBI, everyone's coming in, and he changes the chords there and changes the melody and everything like that.
There's a breakdown at the end of it.
And then when he comes back, it's post, it's after the event, it's after Santa Claus went crazy. And the payoff is totally at the end when Mrs. Claus is negotiating about the movie rights.
Right. And a strong narrative. It's a story song.
It's a story song, completely.
And that's sort of in the keeping with, the 12 Days of Christmas or whatever. On Christmas, we tell these stories of Santa and his little elf. So he's just taken off with that and had a ball. So.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting song because the Bare Naked Ladies song didn't sound especially Christmassy. Which is, and maybe, I guess, because it is such a, this song is so humorous and kind of out there, maybe they made sure that it sounded Christmassy, because otherwise it wouldn't be a Christmas song.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Exactly.
Well, and I think he should get an award for the number of references, like Rambo, Luger, Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
It tastes just like chicken. And, I mean, he's got everything in here with the Eyewitness News and everything.
Yeah.
It's a very American song, I would say.
Yes.
Well, I guess he doesn't realize the North Pole is actually in Canada.
That's right.
It wouldn't be the FBI. It would be, who would it be?
RCMP.
RCMP, I guess.
Well, that's another call we have to make after the show to Al.
Yeah.
Give him a call and correct his lyrics. Yeah. So we're going to move on to my picks now.
But I just wanted to mention
go ahead.
Linda Elaine Lucas from the Songwriters Cafe Facebook group responded to our post saying her favorite holiday song is "Oh Holy Night." It stretches your voice, your breath, and your faith, which I thought was a nice idea.
Oh, nice. Yes. That's a gorgeous song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a beautiful It is a beautiful song.
Yeah, I go to church once a year just to hear those Christmas songs, right?
Actually, I think what is the Huron Christmas?
Huron Carol.
Huron Carol. That's a beautiful, beautiful song.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of gorgeous religious songs and spiritual songs around this time as well. And this one isn't. This comes from the early 70s. It's from her almost legendary album called Blue. I'm speaking of Joni Mitchell now. And it came out at a time in my life where I was at a real crossroads. It was 1970, 71, 72, and I was just in the middle of university. And I just really connected to this album. Like, it was a hugely emotional album.
It's a brilliant album.
And so many good songs on it. And this one is a Christmas song that's really about a breakup. And it's just so gorgeous. Tonight, we don't have Joni singing it. We went for something a little different for Canadian content here.
Joni Mitchell's Canadian too, isn't she?
Yeah, I'm just going to say that. We're doubling up.
We're doubling up. We got double.
That's so right. That little circle on the album, there's at least two of those little pie pieces. So what we've got is Joni Mitchell, a proud Canadian who's lived in Los Angeles for 50 years. But anyway, Joni has written this song, and we've got Sarah McLachlan covering it. Playing the piano in a style very reminiscent of the original, I would say. So let's have a listen to this. This is Joni Mitchell's song, and it's called River.
Mm-hmm. It's coming on Christmas. They're cutting down trees. They're putting up reindeer, singing songs of joy and peace. Oh, I wish I had a river I could skate away on. But it don't snow here. Stays pretty green. I'm gonna make a lot of money. Then I'm gonna quit this crazy scene. Oh, I wish I had a river I could skate away on. I wish I had a river so long. I would teach my feet to fly. Oh, I wish I had a river I could skate away.
That was Sarah McLachlan singing Joni Mitchell's song River. What a gorgeous tune.
Beautiful.
So simple, and just the piano and voice. And I was talking to the guys here about Sarah McLachlan. She has this lovely break in her voice. I don't know how she does that. I guess she does a couple takes, but beautiful. You know, I love Joni Mitchell. You know, this is a folk song, a simple folk song from 1970 or whatever. And it's just verse, verse, refrain, repeat the first verse at the end. No bridge, nothing fancy. But listen to the lyrics. They're cutting down trees. They're putting up reindeer. You know, cutting that down, putting that up. Songs of joy and peace, and yet she's feeling sad because it sounds like she's in L.A. It stays there. It stays green there. And she often talks. She was in L.A. making money, right?
Yeah.
And I'm gonna make a lot of money and then quit this scene, which she didn't. I mean, I guess she took her time away, but
yeah.
And the image that really is so powerful is she's remembering from growing up in, was it Saskatchewan she's from Manitoba or Saskatchewan? She's in the prairies, isn't she?
I think so.
I don't know. Give her a call. but she wishes she had a river to skate away on. That's such an image of Canada.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah, very much.
And of that
I was thinking about
skating on the river, Ottawa.
Yeah, in Ottawa. That's what I was thinking, too.
Well, it's a really interesting metaphor, because normally when we think of skating, people are skating in circles at a pond.
That's right.
Or in an ice rink. A river will take you away. Like, it'll really take you away. It's a line.
Yeah,
and that's what a great line, because when you're in that state of mind, you just want to go away. You know, you just want to go and leave, you know, the situation behind.
Skates aren't going to get too far in Mexico.
No, I wouldn't go somewhere where you had to wear skates. I would go
But you understand
Costa Rica,
what I'm saying?
Like, the Pacific Coast is very nice.
You're in this traumatic emotional state, and you just want to go away from it. You know, that's not actually going to somewhere. You just want to go away in that sort of endless river.
And, you know, she was a very bold writer, too. She's talking about someone making love to her. He loved me so naughty, naughty, N-A-U-G-H-T-Y. He made me weak in the knees. I mean, that's such a really cool way of saying that they made love, that they were in love, that she was swooning over the guy. And yet it's not a victim song.
No, it's not.
It's not moaning about lost love. It's just kind of like...
Well, because she's also the instigator of the problem.
Yeah.
You know, yeah,
which is interesting.
Like, I'm selfish. She says, I'm selfish. I'm hard to handle.
Yeah.
And so there's some regret in it, you know?
I would like to disagree with you. I think this is actually, melodically, a really, really complicated song. If you actually look at the melodies and the way the some of the images from the last, from the end of the chorus bleed into the verse following, structurally, it's very simple, but the actual melody is actually very, very complicated, although it is fairly tight from one verse to the next.
Uh-huh.
But there's, the melody lines are not simple and
refrains. There's a lot of range.
I didn't actually mean that it was simple. I just meant that in terms of verse chorus, it has that folk song set up.
Yeah.
And yet Joni Mitchell, even in those early days, had a touch of jazz to her playing.
Oh,
right?
Definitely.
A bit of that, I can't explain it, but kind of groove and a bit of a minor thing happening. And then throwing in the Jingle Bells reference off the top, you know. Really nice. We have to move on because we're at less than 10 minutes left. So we'll move on to my last pick. And I have brought a special guest in tonight. She's just starting out in the business. I think she's got a great career ahead of her.
She's a little nervous.
She's not Canadian. But we're going to have her sing for you anyway. And this song is called All I Want for Christmas Is You. Now, I first heard it in the 2003 film Love Actually, the British film, which was the fantasy of where you can walk around without your shirt on in the middle of winter in London inside, like as if they have central heating, right? I've been there, okay? It's like
that's
a fantasy. It's a lying movie. And then they go to the school play, the school Christmas concert, and this young girl sings this song. It's gorgeous. And of course, because it's not reality, they have a full gospel choir.
Of course.
And they have a full band. And it's very sweet, though. If you like those syrupy, rent the movie, Love Actually, and you hear this song done by this girl in front of her family and everything. It's very touching. Anyway, here we go. This is a song written by, I'll tell you after, okay? It's called All I Want for Christmas Is You. Now, and now don't be nervous, Mariah. Take it away. It's Mariah Carey.
Want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true. All I want for
Well, there you go. Mariah Carey writes songs as well as singing. And it was called All I Want for Christmas Is You. Kind of a fun throwback to the 50s. I was saying it's like a Phil Spector tune with the girl groups, you know, of the early 60s. Mm-hmm. And she did a nice touch. I'm talking more about the arrangement, I guess, but the start there with a timpani orchestra and cymbals and everything. You think it's going to be a big ballad, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's a thing for songwriters to remember, is it is perfectly okay. In fact, it's really cool to fool the listener, to interrupt their expectations.
Absolutely,
so start with something. You don't always have to start small either. You can start big and then bring it right back. But here she's doing that thing, really legato, really slowed it down. Mm-hmm. And we're almost out of time, so I won't talk much more, Phil.
Love the bridge. Mm-hmm. The bridge is really, really great.
The bridge is amazing, yeah.
Yeah, it's a four-minute song. And definitely long. It's interesting trying to figure out where the chorus starts.
It's just a refrain, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
All I want for Christmas is
yeah.
you.
Maybe all I want is Christmas for
it's
you.
Like it's like a pre-chorus.
Yeah.
I just want you for my own.
But it's a fun
and
song.
Neil, before we run out of time, any comments about, do you think she has a chance in the business? Do you think she'll make
it? She's got a chance.
If she connects
with the right people.
Yeah.
Maybe she talks to us, you know.
Maybe she should marry someone in the business, too.
That might help.
Yeah. Anyway, what'd you think?
It's fun. It's upbeat. I do like that idea at the beginning where it kind of, you know, starts out slow and then kind of picks up. Yeah. It's really great. The bridge is great. It's very catchy.
Well, we have less than a minute to go, so I'm just going to tell you very quickly. You've been listening to Song Talk on the Scope at Ryerson, streaming live from Toronto. I'm Bruce Herrett. And a special event coming up, Songwriters Cafe, is happening Sunday, December 28th, 1 to 4 at the Central on Markham Street. Neil Modi will be your host, actually. And
yep.
So come on out. Songwriters Cafe, Toronto. You can Google that, or torontomeetup.com, Songwriters Cafe. And until next time, we say happy holidays
happy
to you.
Holidays.
Have
happy
a
Chanukah.
Great week, and happy Chanukah, too. And we'll see you again. Go out there and write some songs. Take care now, everybody.
Night.
How'd you like to hang your stocking on a great big coconut tree?
How'd you like to stay up late,
ooh,
like the islanders do?
Ooh, wait for Santa to sail in with your presents in a canoe.
If you ever spend Christmas...